Have you ever made one of those, what I think are relatively arbitrary decisions that winds up having a pretty powerful impact in your life? This week, if you look up the sermon text on the preacher sites that we go to for this Sunday is one of those Sundays where there are lots of choices that you can make. It is Ascension Sunday. It's the day that we can celebrate Jesus ascending into heaven. And so this week was Ascension Day, and this Sunday then is Ascension Sunday. And that's so we sang I'll Fly Away to do that, a part of what Ascension Sunday is all about. Also, it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's time to we can do those Memorial Day things as well. The third one to celebrate is today is Heritage Sunday in the United Methodist Church, and it seems like an insignificant event. It's the day, and this is the day, 271 years ago, that John Wesley had his heart strangely warmed, and his life would never be the same on May 24th. And so today we celebrate that as well. So we had all of these choices, and I decided to do some research on John Wesley, and it has just to read again his journal on that time when he came to that place where God touched his heart. Wesley went through a period where he was trying really, really hard, and he admits it in his journal. He was trying really, really hard to impress God and to kind of get into heaven by working hard enough. And that's what he was doing as a priest and as a pastor. That's what he wanted to do. That's the way he thought he could get there. And then struggling because he knew that that wasn't the way, that it was through the grace of God and just receiving something from God that it would come to him. And so on that day, on May 24th, 1738, he wrote in his journal these words, "About 8:45, while he, this reader, was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." And Wesley's life was never the same. He never stopped working his way into heaven and started preaching about grace and salvation. And eventually, we came. The United Methodist Church was born, and Tri-Lakes United Methodist is part of that journey. And so today, we have a lot to remember. We remember the ascension of Christ. We remember those who have served in the armed forces and have given their lives for our freedom. And we remember our forebearers in the faith, John Wesley and George Whitefield, and just all of those people. But I want to make that a little bit more personal as we come into this time of the preparing of the gospel this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. God, I just thank you so much for this time that we have to be together in your presence on this day when we remember. We thank you, God, this morning for the gift of our church heritage, for your touch upon the life of John Wesley and others who founded the church that speaks to us so well. We give you thanks for those who have sacrificed for us to live in a country where we have the opportunity to live and pray and worship in freedom. And we thank you, O God, for those whom you have placed in our lives, parents, friends, spouses, Sunday school teachers, choir directors, pastors, and others who have shared the faith with us, who have challenged us, who have taught us in the way that they have spoken to us, and simply by the way that they lived. Open our hearts today, O God, to hear your word. Move us, stir us, and call us. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start the message today by sharing with you a bit of a video clip. And it's from a movie called The Lion King. I know many of you are familiar with Lion King. And this is the scene where Mufasa and Simba, Mufasa the dad, the king, is telling his son, Simba, that one day you're going to be king as well. And I want you to pay attention to what Simba thinks that means. What does it mean to one day be king?
Light touches is our kingdom.
Wow.
A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
But I thought a king can do whatever he wants.
Oh, there's more to being king than getting your way all the time.
There's more?
Simba. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope.
But Dad, don't we eat the antelope?
Yes, Simba, but let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
Good morning, sire!
Yeah, it goes on. You could. I know some of you want it to go on. When I read Paul's letter to Timothy, I get this image similar to Mufasa and Simba in that Paul is the elder apostle. You know, he's the pastor, preacher, evangelist who's been doing it for a while, and Timothy is his young protege. And in a lot of ways, Paul is passing the mantle. You know, he's giving Timothy the advice that he needs to be an effective pastor and preacher and evangelist. And as you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you just hear the warmth. Paul actually calls Timothy, in the very beginning of 2 Timothy, he calls him son. And it's just a wonderful relationship that these two share together. It's so warm and so familiar that at one verse, Paul is teaching Timothy about how to choose leaders in the church. And in the very next verse, he's arguing with him about his diet because he has frequent stomach problems. It's just a familiar, loving relationship. And in that way, in this few verses that were read for you this morning, Paul is passing on to Timothy not a circle of life, but the circle of faith. Paul starts this passage in this remarkable way. He says, the God who I worship as my forefathers did. So Paul is putting himself in this long line of people who have worshiped God. And then he gets to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, where did your faith come from? And did you hear what he said? Your mom and your grandmom. And Paul knows their names, Lois and Eunice, who had passed the faith to Timothy. And we, like Simba, like Timothy, we know that we have been wonderful recipients of what God has given to us, of the people that God has placed in our lives. And boy, it's fun from time to time to just remember. As I got opportunity to do this week, one lady came to mind, my junior high Sunday school teacher, and I actually remembered her name. Mrs. Greenwood was my middle school Sunday school teacher. And again, I don't remember one lesson from middle school Sunday school. But I remember Mrs. Greenwood and the love that she shared with obnoxious middle school students. It's a wonderful way that she fed me and the rest of that class in very real and very powerful ways. And it sure is fun to just think of those people and to remember what they've offered. But as you read in the very next verse, after Paul gets done telling Timothy, remember this faith that you've received and these people that God's put in your life? Oh, the very next verse is this. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue his work as a preacher, as a teacher, as an evangelist. He's telling Timothy, remember that you have received, and remember that you're called to give what you have received. It's so easy for us to kind of be like Simba and feel like, well, we're the top of the food chain. I love that line. Dad, don't we eat the antelope? You know, we need, you know, we need them. They don't need us. Well, and Mufasa reminds him that they do need us as we die and become the grass. It's not just that we receive, but we also need to be mindful of our call to give, to share, to be the people that God has called us to be. There's a story, it's an old pastor story that goes through quite a bit here. It's about a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. And Edward Kimball was concerned about one of his Sunday school students, and so he went to where his student worked to go meet with him. His student worked in a shoe store. And he went in the back of the shoe store to meet with his student. And there in the back of the shoe store, he and his student knelt and prayed together. And the student accepted Christ in the back of a shoe store. The student was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody went on to become an evangelist. And here has the chain continues. Dwight L. Moody wound up speaking all over the world. And one day he was in the British Isles at a church pastored by a man named Frederick Brotherton Meyer. Brotherton Meyer was so impressed with this story about a Sunday school teacher that he decided he wasn't going to be a pastor anymore. He too was going to be an evangelist. And he began traveling all over Europe, sharing his message, sharing the gospel in these evangelistic gatherings. Meyer was heard by a man named J. Wilbur Chapman, who was so moved by Meyer's preaching that he became an evangelist. J. Wilbur Chapman started a revival around the United States, and one of the guys that helped him set up the evangelistic crusades was an old baseball player named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday took over Chapman's ministry at some point and became the great evangelist. Inspired by one of Billy Sunday's crusades in Charlotte, North Carolina, a committee of Christians decided to invite an evangelist to share the gospel with the people in their area. And in 1932, Mordecai Ham held evangelistic meetings there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And one night, a 16-year-old boy who felt like the messages were directed directly at him, at the end of the last night, went forward and gave his life to Christ. And that boy became, or was, Billy Graham. Thousands or hundreds of years and millions of people touched by the gospel because a Sunday school teacher cared enough to show up at a young man's work and say, I love you enough to be here and share the good news with you. And when people trace it back, we get Edward Kimball to Billy Graham. And I would like to know the really unknown person who gave it to Edward Kimball somewhere along the line. There's this long chain of just walking beside someone and sharing with them, and suddenly the gospel is spread in real and powerful ways. You see, we don't need to be graduates of some grand program in order to be effective in sharing the good news with the people in our lives. And sometimes we think, oh, well, let somebody else do that because they might ask me a hard question, or let it be somebody who's more learned than I. Let it be someone who knows more than I do. But really, the most effective person is probably you, the friend, the one who walks with them through the everyday struggles of life. One author points out that Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to get finished learning before he sent them out. He didn't wait till it was done, till he said to the disciples, okay, now you're ready, now go. And he sent them along the way. He writes this. He said, Jesus' model of training was on the job. The disciples were training and being trained simultaneously. Isn't that the way life really is? We're constantly learning and hopefully constantly pouring our lives into someone else. See, to me, that's that circle of faith. We aren't just receivers at the top. We're somewhere in the circle. And we are being poured into, and we have opportunity to pour into lives of others. You know, I think about all that's happening in the world around us today and how difficult things are for so many. As I said, the youth band couldn't stay with us, and they're And I really wish they could have, because the song that, they sang today was a song by a band called Thousand Foot Crutch, and it's called This Is a Call. And the chorus is really simple. It says, "I'm called. This is a call. This is a call out." The verses are about people in pain, people who are struggling with life situations, and they just call out. And the question is, do we respond to their call? Do we go and meet them where they are in their struggle, in their need? People around us are calling out. Will we go and walk with them? This is a day that we remember. It's a day we remember our United Methodist heritage. It's a day we remember those who have served and protected us and given their very lives for us. And it's a day we remember that Jesus, before ascending, sent his disciples out to share the good news with the world around us. As we remember, may it not just be for memory's sake, but may we be inspired by the memory to be that person for someone else, to keep the circle going and share the good news with the people that we come into contact with in our ordinary, everyday living. Let's pray together. God, it's so easy to let it stop. It's so easy to feel like that you've placed people in our lives so that we can come to this place of knowing you. But God, help us to hear that call. That call that Paul gave to Timothy, that it's not just an end in itself, but it leads to us sharing, fanning that flame, sharing with others your love and your peace. And it doesn't always take a grand gesture, oh God, just that we might walk with people in love and care and faith. Thank you, God, as we remember this day. Amen.